those who do not follow the advice of the wicked, or take the path that sinners tread, or sit in the seats of the scoffers.
Aka maki kanavai o Yehovah kona olioli, ama kona kanavai o ia I manao ai ike ao a me kapo.
But their delight is in the law of the Lord, and on the law they meditate day and night.
E like no ia me ka la'au I kanu ia mana ka hawai, I ho'ohua mai I kona hua I kona manawa, a o kona lau ho'e a ole e mai. A o kona mea e hana ai I pono ana no ia.
They are like trees planted by the streams of the water, which yield their fruit in its season, and their leaves do not wither. And all that they do, they prosper.
A ole ho'i e like me neia ka po'e a ia, a ka ua like ia me ka opala I pu'ehu I ka makani. No laila, a ole e ku'ana ka po'e a ia, ma ka ho'okolokolo ana, a ole ho'i ka po'e hewa I loko o ka po'e pono anaina. No ka mea, ua ike baila o Yehova I ka auau o ka po'e mai ka'e, a ka ho'i o ka auau o ka po'e hewa ma ke ana no ia.
The wicked are not so, but are like the chaff that the wind drives away. Therefore the wicked will not stand in judgment, nor the sinners in the congregation of righteousness. For the Lord watches over the way of the ways of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish. Please remain standing if you're able and join us in our first hymn, Near to the Heart of God. It will be in your insert in your side your bulletin.
Cameron.
remain standing if you're able and join us in the reading of our mission statement found on page 5 of your worship bulletin. We will say it first in Hawaiian and then in English, followed by the singing of the Lord's Prayer first in Hawaiian and then in English.
Ho kumu ia kai kalesia o ke avalai e ko mako mau kupuna I kupa'a ma hope o ke aloha o ke akua mai ke kahi haunauna a ke kahi haunauna aku. O mako no nā haumana a Yesu Christo e hea hea aku la me ke aloha I nā la hui a pau I ko mā ko ohana. Lave lave ia nā la hui a pau e ko ke avalai ma o kapilina uhane o ke kaya ulu a kea. I ho'olokahi ia ka ho'omana kalike ano me ka mo'o meheu Hawaii. Ke Avalai Congregational Church, founded by our kupuna, is committed to sharing God's aloha from generation to generation. As haumana of Jesus Christ, we welcome all, love all, and accept all into our ohana. Ke Avalai ministers to all, through the spiritual gifts we share, as our diverse community uniting our Christian faith and Hawaiian heritage.
Oh.
seated. Normally, we have cakey time at this time. However, today is a very, very special day for us here at our church. It's our Kahu's 28th anniversary.
Oh, I see.
And in 1991, a young Kahu came through our doors. We didn't know how great he was back then, but Amen. We are so happy to have you, and we know this is your last year, and we really want to make the best of it, and hang on to your ankles and hope you never leave us.
And will somebody explain the shirts?
Yes.
What does it say?
I would like to have our models here. We have Cindy, and we have Arlene. Cameron, stand up, please.
It's all Cameron's fault. Yeah.
Cameron designed these shirts. It's all
Nuku Nuku Apu Kahu?
No, Kahu Kahu.
Oh, Kahu Kahu. Nuku Kahu.
Did you see the face?
The McKenna Shepherd fish.
Your picture.
I know.
Yeah, his face is on a fish's body.
Thank you. It's like herding cats, let alone fish. Oh. No? Yes. Okay. Thank you, everybody. There are two young ladies here, Ella and Emma. Auntie said Namaka. And sister is? Ella is Hawaiian name? He'ui? Kau'i. Oh. No, she said he'ui. Beautiful. They are from Pukalani and daughters of, yes, Auntie Pakelo. Cosma, who is, some of you know, for many years he shared his music with us here in Maui. And He'u'i and Namaka are friends of Auntie Laurie and Uncle Eddie Chang of McKenna. And Auntie thought we'd bring them down here and sing for us. So come. Maybe, yeah. Can you give me that mic stand that's leaning against the black thing? You probably don't need this, but it's for the people outside. Auntie told you to do, you can do. You like use that? The bench? Yeah. But can you move this over for her? Do you know what you like to sing? You going to introduce the song? I told Auntie if you did Maui place names, that would be good. She wanted to know, like, if I had suggestions about what you could sing. What you can sing? Okay. You can talk about it then, yeah? Okay.
Aloha, everyone. Hello? How are you guys doing today? as Michael said, my name's Namaka, and this is my sister, Heui. The first song we're going to be singing today is called Poli Ahu, and it takes place on Mauna Kea on the Big Island, and it's about the snow goddess Poli Ahu and her lover, Aivohi Kupua. So, enjoy. Thank you. next song is called Pua Olena, and it's about a flower that grows on the Big Island. Mahalo! Thank you, everyone.
I'd like to present Kahu with a picture that I've taken. I've taken a lot of pictures here in Kevalai, and these are a couple of pictures that I've cherished myself, and I wanted to give it to him on this special day. It's a double exposure of the church, and the second picture is as you're leaving the church, going up the hill at the stop sign, where we have our banner usually. If you look straight up the hill, you can see the meadow. So it's two pictures imposed into one. Thank you, Carl.
And I'm nowhere to be seen. Where am I? Looking for a Waldo. No, thank you. So I guess that was Kiki time. Was that Kiki time?
That was Kiki time.
All right. Aloha.
Honor and majesty belong to the Lord. Strength and beauty are in God's sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord the glory that is due. Come into God's presence with an offering of thankfulness and praise. We'll receive the morning offering.
Aloha for Hawaii and its people, for his steadfast love of learning and his sense of purpose, and for his hope that the good news of Jesus Christ would be proclaimed throughout our islands. We offer our gifts as expressions of our gratitude to you, O God, for his life and his witness. Ho'onani ia oe ke akua, thanks be to you, O God. Amen. You may be seated.
Good morning. The first reading this morning is taken from Isaiah chapter 41, verses 1 through 10. I'll be reading the New Revised Standard Version on page 629 in your pew Bible, or you can follow along in your worship bulletin on page 14. Listen to me in silence, O coastlands. Let the peoples renew their strength. Let them approach. Let them speak. Let us together draw near for judgment. Who has roused a victor from the east, summoned him into service? He delivers up nations to him and tramples kings underfoot. He makes them like dust with his sword, like driven stubble with his brow. He pursues them and passes on safely, scarcely touching the path with his feet. Who has performed and done this, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am first and will be the last. The coastlands have seen and are afraid. The ends of the earth tremble. They have drawn near and come. Each one helps the other, saying to one another, take courage. The artisan encourages the goldsmith. The one who smooths the hammer encourages the one who strikes the anvil, saying of the soldering, it is good. And they fasten it with nails so it cannot be moved. But you, Israel, my servant Jacob, whom I have chosen, the offspring of Abraham, my friend, you who I took from the ends of the earth and called from the father's corners, saying to you, you are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be afraid, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will hold you up with my victorious right hand. May God bless the reading of the word.
Thank you, Robin. Let's see. Oh, I want to thank Namaka and Heu'i for sharing their music with us. It's a good tribute to Poliahu. She made an appearance last week, yeah? Those of you who saw the snow on Haleakala. So she's back. It's good to have her. That was poetry, by the way, in case some of you are getting a little worried. Who's Poliahu? Well, she's the Kinolau, manifestation of God's presence in snow. Yay. Anyway, so for that I'm thankful. Our prayers this morning. We shared the news with you last Sunday that Dixie Wood of Livermore, California died on February 4th. There's a memorial service that will be held this afternoon at Asbury United Methodist Church at 1 o'clock our time, but 3 o'clock in Livermore. Prayers for her and her family and friends, especially for her husband, Cal. Whenever they were on island, they were a part of our church family here in McKenna. We received a note from Joyce Libra of Boulder, Colorado. She recently fell and hit her head. The results of the CAT scan were negative, so she says there's no bleeding or broken bones, so that's good news for Joyce. Kate Axe of Kihei sent an email to let us know that her daughter, Billy, in Austin, Texas, is recovering from a knee replacement surgery on Monday. In 4 to 6 weeks, she'll do the other knee. She's in a lot of pain, but appears to be doing well. So we give thanks to God. From Michael Irish, who's here, from my sister, Kathy. She has a kidney infection, is being treated, has been hospitalized. She has a very high fever. From Kim and Kathy Ecker Where are you? You were here last week too, yeah? Where are you? Oh, wait. I think it says, children and grandchildren are here with us. They are. It's so funny. I was going to say I see you, but I don't know where my glasses are. Where are they? Nope. Oh, here they are. Here they are. Okay, I see you now. Aloha. All right, so the Eckers are here in the house. Janet Olson, Carmichael, California. Yes, Janet, we... Pastor Jason Bensi and his parents, Donna and Bob, are here. He's a Lutheran pastor. Where are you, Kahu? We saw you earlier. Welcome. You're prepared to give the message, yes? Whenever... No? Vacation. Okay, yeah, no such thing. No vacation. But welcome. And let's see, outside, the world around us, we pray for those affected by wars and armed conflicts around the world, for the people of Venezuela, Yemen, and Afghanistan, this week for the people in Haiti. We pray for those affected by natural disasters around the world, especially first responders who place themselves in harm's way. Our winter storm that brought Poliahu back to us apparently continued on to California, and they're having a very difficult time right now with flooding. So we pray for the people in California. And we continue to pray for those seeking reasonable ways to reduce everyday gun violence across the U.S. This past week was the anniversary of the shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School in Parkland, Florida. There is a call for universal background checks, waiting periods to buy guns, safe storage initiatives, red flag laws designed to keep guns away from people who may be a danger to themselves and to others, and for gun violence research. Some of you know, last year over 1,200 children died from everyday gun violence, some accidentally when guns were found in the home, some through domestic violence that resulted in the death of children and suicide by a parent. Others, like the child this past week who was shot and wounded by a gunman firing into a car where the boy sat. On Thursday, a shot was fired at a suburban school in Albuquerque, New Mexico, on the anniversary of the mass shooting at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas. A suspect who is a student was taken into custody and a handgun was recovered. And then I know many, if not all of you, know that there was another mass shooting on Friday in Aurora, Illinois, at the Henry Pratt Company, leaving 6 people dead, including the gunman who was shot and killed by police. 7 others were injured, and apparently the gunman opened fire when he was told he would no longer be working at the company. And it has become our custom or tradition whenever occasions like this come up, we always have candles for those who have died. And this morning, Russell Baer, Vicente Juarez, Trevor Wenner, Clayton Parks, and Josh Pinkert. I've said it before, and I'll keep saying it, the threat to our security comes from within our own borders. We pray for all religious and political leaders, and we will always pray for our enemies. Not because we want to, yeah? But because Jesus said, pray. Epulikako, let us pray. Looking around us, O God, we are painfully aware of all the challenges that we face in our lives and in our living. We confess that we have often filled our days with bustle and activity, but very little substance. We seem to define our existence by deadlines and headlines, but we recognize that we are noticeably lacking in creating communities of compassion. Dreams and hopes have faded, and our vision is unclear. our trust in our own designs have misled us. So we come before you seeking guidance. We offer our lives to you, asking for strength. Since the day of creation, you have seen our great potential. You have watched and hoped with each step we have taken. But unfortunately, our choices have not always been as you would have them be, and the paths that we have selected have not always been the best. Yet, when we stumble, you stand beside us. You are with us today to uplift and to guide us. How great is your love, how enduring your patience, how wonderful your constant promise of a new and more blessed day. Grant us a desire to bring your message of wholeness into every area of our life together. Equip us with Christ's compassion that peace may abound throughout the earth. We come to you this day in this quiet place of rest to lift all our prayers up into your care. We live in challenging times, O God, days which sometimes demand more than we have to offer, but they are our times, and more importantly, they are your times. So may your light of hope permeate our spirits that we never give up, but instead continue seeking the path we have promised that you daily lay before us, trusting in your presence each step of the way. And for that, we give thanks to you, O God. Ke mahalo nei ia oe, e ke akua. Amen.
Please stand if you're able for the singing of our Hawaiian hymn, O Jesus, I Have Promised, found in your beige Hawaiian hymnal on page 169.
Be seated. Thank you. Both of our scripture readings for this morning are suggested for this day that we acknowledge here in Hawaii as Opukahi'ia Sunday. So the reading from Isaiah was one that he was familiar with. And now I'm reading to you the letter of Paul, second letter of Paul to Timothy. This is God's word. In the presence of God and of Jesus Christ, who is to judge the living and the dead, and in view of his appearing in his kingdom, I solemnly urge you, proclaim the message. Be persistent whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, encourage, and with the utmost patience and teaching. For the time is coming when people will not put up with sound doctrine, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers who suit their own desires and will turn away from listening to the truth and wander away to myths. As for you, always be sober, enduring suffering. Do the work of an evangelist. Carry out your ministry fully. As for me, I am already being poured out as a libation, and the time of my departure has come. I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. From now on, there is reserved for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on that day. And not only to me, but also to all who have longed for his appearing. May God bless the reading of the word. Amen. Their names are familiar. Emma Gonzalez, Cameron Caskey, David Hogg, but there are others. Alex Nguyen and Jacqueline Corin, and hundreds upon hundreds of others who were at Marjorie Stoneman Douglas High School on Valentine's Day of last year when 14 students and 3 educators were shot and killed and 17 others wounded. They are the survivors. They are the ones who were at the school the day the violence erupted. They formed the group March for Our Lives, which included a march on Washington, D.C., not long after the massacre. At the same time, hundreds of rallies were held on the same day in cities and towns across the U.S. calling for tougher gun regulations and registering young people to vote. Soon after, the Florida legislature raised the age to buy a rifle from 18 to 21 and passed a so-called red flag law allowing judges to take away the weapons of those who are considered a danger to themselves and others. The legislation also prohibited the sale of bump stocks, which enables semi-automatic weapons to mimic automatic gunfire. Since the shooting at Stoneman Douglas, at least 40 states have passed some kind of legislation related to guns in 2018, some imposing restrictions while others expanding gun rights. Those supporting stricter gun laws felt the marches marked a turning point in the effort to reduce everyday gun violence across the U.S. But given the current political climate across the country, many do not expect any significant changes to gun laws this year. Sadly, tragically, everyday gun violence continues. The idea that what happened at Stoneman Douglas was school violence is like saying the 5 employees who were shot and killed at the Henry Pratt Company in Aurora, Illinois on Friday were victims of workplace violence, as though the place or location was the cause for people being killed and not the guns. But I am much more hopeful that the times, to quote the lyrics of an old Bob Dylan song, "The times, they are a-changing." It was over 5 decades ago that the song became an anthem for a generation. I was 14 years old at the time, and the world was changing. It seemed that the world was in a violent upheaval. There were wars and rumors of wars. But over 2 centuries ago, there was another war. A young Hawaiian boy named Opukahaia fell victim to a brutal battle at Kaipalawa on the north side of the Waikea River in Hilo in 1796. In his account of the battle, Christopher Cook wrote the following. A gruesome sight lay near the mouth of the black lava tube cave about 50 paces back. There, tall warriors dispatched by Kamehameha, the warrior chief who conquered and consolidated the Hawaiians in the 1790s, wielding sharp-toothed clubs, worked at dismembering the bodies of Opukahia's parents. The shock of seeing his father, Keau, a planter fisherman, and Kamoho Ula, his beloved mother, kin to Kamehameha, being brutally slaughtered, traumatized Opukahia. This caused him to flee from the death scene, controlled by a primordial fear. He fled with his infant brother on his back. A warrior in pursuit of the children slung his short spear, a sharp hardwood pahoa dagger, into the infant's back. The blow caused the young Opukahia to stumble. Falling forward, he clutched the limp, bleeding body of his brother. Opukahia was 12 years old when he saw his parents and his brothers killed before his eyes. He was the survivor. I can only imagine that Opukahia's life, like the lives of the survivors who saw their classmates killed before their eyes at Stoneman Douglas last Valentine's Day, would be changed forever by the trauma he experienced. The warrior who pursued Opukahia and his brother sought an order from his commander: life or a quick death for the young boy. Too young to fight back, but old enough to take care of himself, the chief decided to spare his life. Opukahia was taken away to the district of Kohala on the north side of Hawaii Island. While living in Kohala, he met his mother's brother and asked him to bring him back to Kona. And it was there he would spend his early teenage years at Naupo'opo'o under the tutelage of his uncle, a skilled kahuna or priest who was taught by Hewaewa, the high priest at Hikiau Heiau or temple. 5 years after the battle at Kaipalawa, Opukahia saw the ship called the Triumph sail into Kealakekua Bay. I have always imagined that the trauma of the death of his parents and brother was so overwhelming, he saw an opportunity for himself to start a new life. And so he dove into the waters of the bay, boarded the ship, and became a seaman at the age of 17. His journey would take him to China and the West Indies, and finally to the American port at New Haven, Connecticut in 1810. He was under the care of Timothy Dwight, the president of Yale University, and a congregational minister. And while in Connecticut, he attended Andover Theological Seminary and mastered English, Greek, and Hebrew. And it was while he was there that he became a convert to Christianity. In 1817, a missionary school was built by the American Board of Commissioners for Foreign Missions in Cornwall, Connecticut. Opukahia began lecturing throughout New England. Many became aware that it was always his heart's desire to return home to Hawaii to share the good news of his newfound faith. When he died in a typhoid epidemic on February 17, 1818, his dream of returning to Hawaii would be fulfilled by others who would make the long journey in the following years. In 1819, the first mission company set sail from Boston and arrived in Kona in 1820. In the 3 decades that were to follow, more than 100 congregational missionaries inspired by the story of Opukahia's life would make the journey to our islands. Today, our church, this church, is among 45 historic Hawaiian churches that existed at the time of the overthrow of the nation of Hawaii in 1893 by American business interests. The coming year, 2020, will mark the bicentennial of the arrival of Congregational missionaries to Hawaii. I suspect there are those who will want to celebrate the triumph of the Christian mission to Hawaii and point out how fortunate we, the Kanaka Maoli, the Hawaiians, were to be saved from death and degradation. It was noted by Hiram Bingham, who was in the first company of missionaries, that the Hawaiians were living in darkness. But for me, I will celebrate the life and witness of a young man, a 17-year-old boy who saw the brutality, the violence that comes from weapons that destroy human life. I will celebrate the life and witness of a young man whose faith in the God of Aloha changed the course of Hawaii as a nation. There is no doubt in my mind that Liliuokalani, the last ruling monarch of our islands, knew about the impact of Opukahaia's life on the nation of Hawaii. As a member of Kauaiha'o Church in Honolulu, where she was baptized, she taught Sunday school and played the organ. In 1895, she was arraigned before a military commission and charged with treason. Over the course of her trial, she was told to sign a document in which she would abdicate her position as queen. She was told that her action would save the lives of those who supported her. So to stay the flow of blood, she later wrote in her memoirs, she signed. And at her trial, she said, "To prevent the shedding of the blood of my people, natives and foreigners alike, I opposed armed interference and quietly yielded to the armed forces brought against my throne and submitted to the arbitrament of the government of the United States the decision of my rights and those of the Hawaiian people. Since then, as is well known to all, I have pursued the path of peace and diplomatic discussion, and not that of internal strife." Our readings from the book of Isaiah and the second letter of Paul to Timothy were familiar to Opukahaia, and I would venture to say that for Liliuokalani and for Opukahaia, God's word to Jacob was a source of comfort and reassurance for both of them. "You are my servant. I have chosen you and not cast you off. Do not fear, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. I will help you. I will uphold you with my victorious right hand." I would also venture to say that for Liliuokalani and Opukahaia, the words of Paul to Timothy were also a source of comfort and reassurance. "I solemnly urge you," Paul writes to Timothy, "proclaim the message, be persistent, whether the time is favorable or unfavorable. Convince, rebuke, and encourage, for I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith." Opukahaia experienced the trauma that comes from weapons of violence when he was 12 years old. The students of Stoneman Douglas experienced the trauma that comes from everyday gun violence when they were not much older than Opukahaia. I hear in his voice and in the voice of Emma, David, Cameron, and others the message that the violence must stop. Enough is enough. Opukahaia's voice changed the course of Hawaii as a nation. And I believe the voices of Emma, David, Cameron, and others will also change the course of the United States as a nation. We would do well to heed the words of Isaiah to Jacob, the words of Paul to Timothy, and the words of Bob Dylan to us. Come, senators, congressmen, please heed the call. Don't stand in the doorway, don't block up the hall. For he that gets hurt will be he who has stalled. There's a battle outside and it is raging. It'll soon shake your windows and rattle your walls. For the times, they are a-changing. Come mothers and fathers throughout the land, and don't criticize what you can't understand. Your sons and your daughters are beyond your command. Your old road is rapidly aging. Please get out of the new one if you can't lend your hand. For the times, they are a-changing.
Now is the time for our young one. We'd like to prepare for the sacrament of baptism. So if you could please remain seated and turn your beige hymnal to page 90, Eanola Koe Hesu.
Patrick and Catherine, the sacrament of baptism is an outward and visible sign of the grace of God. The promise of the good news of Jesus Christ is to us, and it is also to our children. It is the mark of their acceptance into the care of Christ's church, the sign and seal which makes pa'a, or firm, a life of faith and discipleship. It's good that you have returned to this place near the sea here in McKenna. The Hawaiians say, Kale ha'uli olehi keiki, the one lay you never cast aside as a child. By your presence here today as parents, you affirm your commitment to provide your aloha and your malama, your love and care for your son.
They were bringing the children to Jesus, that Jesus might touch them. The disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw it, he was indignant. He said to them, let the children come to me. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the realm of God like a small child, shall not enter it. And Jesus took them in his arms and blessed them, laying his hands upon them.
Patrick and Catherine, do you wish to have your son baptized into the faith and ohana of Jesus Christ? If so, please say, we do.
We do.
Do you promise by the grace given you to grow with your son in God's love, to help your child be a faithful follower of Jesus Christ by celebrating Christ's presence in all the world and by offering the nurture of the church so that he may one day affirm his baptism? If so, please say, we do with the help of God. Members and friends of Kevalai Congregational Church, Patrick and Catherine live in Park City, Utah. We baptized their firstborn daughter, Sophie, on December 11, 2011. Catherine returned to Maui in 2014 to visit us shortly after she had completed chemotherapy treatments for ovarian cancer. When she returned, Patrick had already left for a 10-month deployment to the Middle East as an F-18 pilot. They returned in 2015 with their daughter, Charlotte, who by all accounts from the doctor was a miracle baby. This morning, they returned with Charlotte and Sophie, and another miracle. Having said all of this, I ask those of you who are members and friends of this church, do you promise your love, care, and support to the one who is about to be baptized on this day? If so, please say, we promise.
We promise.
Mahalo. So we present to the one who is to be baptized on this day, the Leilau Ki, the Tilif Le as a symbol that he will be kept safe throughout his life's journey. Yeah, we know that that happens, yeah. But it's not a rejection. It's that life stage. The baptism with the pikai or water from the ocean is to cleanse and purify. So, but let me say a few more things before we do the blessing, just in case the water gets on the floor. Ordinarily, we celebrate the baptism at the north end of Malawaka Beach. And I thought after the storm this week, it would be too rough, but it's been malia, it's been flat as a pancake yesterday and today. So the only reason we're not going down to the beach is because he's 2 years old and he's not gonna go in the ocean with us. So here we are. Okay, so high five, a word of blessing. Na Yehovah oi, mai ka I mai, a e malama mai. Na Yehovah I kau mai, I ka malama lama, o kona ma ka maluni iho o. A e luka mai ka I mai, ia oi. Na Yehovah I malu ia mai, ia oi. A e haavi mai, I malu no. May God bless you and keep you. May God's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. May God's countenance be lifted up upon you, give you peace this day and in all the days to come. Okay. By what name shall this child be called?
Michael
Joseph O'Connor. So, Michael Joseph O'Connor, whom we also call Makoa on this day, which means the one who is fearless and courageous, we baptize you in the name of God the Creator, Jesus our Redeemer, the Holy Spirit our Sustainer. May you grow in wisdom, stature, and favor with all. Mommy, come over here. Let's see, how are we going to do this? No, maybe we'll just do on top. Okay, this is a... It's really okay. I always have to say this. Some people like to pour, some people like to dunk, some people sprinkle. For me, it's if you understand what we're doing, that matters more than the form. So for today, we're trying to figure out the logistics here. So, okay, here we go. Oh, I know. Oh. you're okay. Makoa, huh? I've been.
High five?
No. See, 28 years of ministry, this is what I get. You okay?
I'm fine.
No. Okay. Can I give you a hug?
Can you give a big hug?
No. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, girls. Mm-hmm. Okay. All right.
Please stand if you're able for their closing hymn, called as Partners in Christ Service, found in the Black New Century Hymnal on page 495.
On February 17, 1991, that I stood up here for the first time, and I remember that morning, those of you who are here, Akone Akana, who's no longer with us, began that time as we gathered as a community to offer an ole, a chant. And many of the people who were here, and they were mostly kupuna, women, who had come to see the new kid on the block, and many of them are gone as well. But from generation to generation, yeah? And like with the O'Connor family, we go on. And so for that, we give thanks to God. As the benediction is offered, may you and your hearts bless one another. Imawaku kaluku maikai, okahaku Yesu Christo, amiko aloha, iho lako, iko mako ola. May God bless you and keep you all. Amen. Well, I just...